For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
Glory to God. Tonight, God is present. He's present amongst his people. He is present by his Spirit that's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you tonight. We thank you for your wonderful blessing. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, our wonderful Saviour. I thank you, Lord, for open hearts, open ears, open eyes, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Tonight we're looking at the connection between humility and healing, and we'll give you an opportunity in the Lord to have prayer if you need it, because God backs his word. That's one thing I know. God backs his word. What we want to look at tonight is, how do we receive from God? Now, a humble heart, which is one that bows the knee before the Lord, that says, Lord, you are right in all things. A humble heart can receive from God. What we're going to also learn is that hardness of heart is connected to pride, it's connected to unbelief, and that type of thing will keep back you receiving from the Lord. Let's have a look first of all at 2 Chronicles chapter 7. 2 Chronicles in the Old Testament, chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. 2 Chronicles 7, verses 13 and 14. We're going to see here a connection between humility and healing. That's what we want to establish tonight. We want to look at that tonight. When God's word comes, we must respond to it in faith. And this is very important, because it's faith that pleases the Lord. Verses 13 and 14. This is God speaking. And he says, if I shut up heaven, that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, and all this is because of sin and rebellion. Okay, just realize that all of that has judgment upon it. Pestilence talks about sickness and disease. Verse 14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall, what? Humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. So we see that it's very important to notice the connection. Humble, or humility, humble themselves. If my people, which are called by my name, are we called by God's name? Well, certainly, we are called Christians, and Christ is God, the Son of God. He is the one who was manifested in the flesh and was sacrificed for us. By the stripes of the Lord Jesus Christ, we were healed. He was made a curse for us. We are redeemed from the curse of the law by his blood. So we see that we are a people which are called by his name. We've believed on him. We have received Christ as our Saviour. We've come into the kingdom of God. So if you're a Christian, you need to humble yourself. You need to be a humble person. And your heart has to be humble before the Lord. And this is something which we are commanded to do. We are commanded to be people that are holy before the Lord. And if we humble ourselves and pray and seek God's face and turn from our wicked ways, and sadly, amongst the people of God, there are wicked ways. And one of those wicked ways is pride and rebellion. Those type of things are going to cause God to resist you. Isn't that what the scripture tells you? We're going to read that in a minute. So we see that humility, prayer, seeking God's face, turning from your wicked ways, that's repentance. Then God will hear and will forgive and will heal. Hear, forgive, heal. Is it God's desire to heal his people? It is. But his people have to be open to receive. His people have to be open to receive. If they will not turn from wicked ways, if they will not get things like unbelief, pride, rebellion out, then this explains why there's a lot of things that aren't right in people's lives, because they're allowing the wicked one to have his way in their life. Now, this is important for us to understand. Jesus said to a sick person, "Go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon thee." So there is a connection between this sickness and allowing wicked ways to be in people's lives. But you know, there's that connection between humility and healing. Humility and repentance is like a clearing house. It clears you. And repentance is a wonderful gift from God. It's not something to be ashamed about. It gives you a new start in the Lord. It gives you a new start. And repentance means you turn. You can, the Bible says, confess and forsake. And you turn from the wicked ways. You turn from them. And that means you don't go that way anymore. You don't go that way. If you've been neglecting the Lord and his ways, that's part of wicked ways, when you neglect the Lord and his ways. Those wicked ways have to be out. Let's have a look at, if you go across into the New Testament, we'll see that if people don't humble themselves before the Lord, have a look in Matthew 13, if people don't humble themselves before the Lord and receive his word, God can't do much in that situation. And in fact, Jesus met up with opposition at times. And we see this in Matthew 13, verses 57 and 58. Let's read this. Matthew 13, 57 and 58. Now, Jesus was preaching and teaching, but notice what happened to certain people that were there. It says, and they were offended in him. What's offense? Offense is part of those wicked ways, isn't it? Offense at the word of God. Offense. Oh, how can he say that to me? That's offensive. But you might need to receive it. It might be the very thing you need to receive. We're going to look at an example in a minute of something that was spoken to someone. They needed to receive it and they got all angry about it. And here we see here, they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honour save in his own country and in his own house. See, they didn't even honour his word. They didn't honour what he had, what he stood for. And verse 58 is a very, very important one to realise. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Notice it doesn't say because he was powerless. It said because of their unbelief. What is that unbelief? It's hardness. It's a lack of humility. It's a lack of receiving the word of God. Unbelief in what? Unbelief in what he was saying. They were not believing what he was saying. That's what unbelief is. I'm not believing it. But you know, every one of us who are a Christian can choose to believe the Bible, can choose to believe the Word of God, preached and taught. You just make a simple choice. You say, I choose to believe it. You don't have to wait for a feeling to come. You say, I choose to believe that. I choose to believe that by the stripes of Jesus I was healed. But notice it says in verse 58, and he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. They weren't humble before the Lord. They got offended. They did not receive or give honour to him or his word. And because of that, mighty works couldn't be done. Do you think that's rife in the churches today? I think it is. I think it is. I think there has to be a lot of people humbling and praying and seeking the Lord. And then the Lord will be able to hear them and forgive them and heal them. So we see that there are things that keep back what God wants to do. And I pray that if there's something in your life that needs to be changed, you change it and you get those wicked ways out. It's very, very important. If you look at James 4, verses 6 to 10, this shows what God can do with people who are humble before him. But it also shows what happens when people will not hear him, will not humble themselves before him. James 4, verses 6 to 10. 4 verses 6 to 10. You know, one of the big things in many churches today is a lack of being able to hear the Word of God. Their hearts are gross. That means there's things in their hearts that are keeping back. There's hardness in their hearts. There's unbelief. That has to be broken up. That's what a broken heart before the Lord is. Breaking all that hardness up. Getting it out. So that you have a soft heart that's able to receive the things of the Lord. And here we see in James 4, we'll start from verse 6 and we'll go to verse 10. It says, but he giveth more grace. What's grace? God's wonderful favour and power that he can put into your life for you to be able to have things and to do things. You know, if God calls you to do something, he's going to give you the grace to be able to do it. You don't boast that, oh yes, I can do it in myself. No, no. You give all glory to God. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Good things can come to the humble. Good things can come to the humble. Good things can come to those who are open to God. But notice it talks about the resisting of the proud. God resisteth the proud. You don't want to... Look, pride, the Bible says that a proud heart is an abomination to the Lord. So resistance from God is not what you want in your life. What you want in your life, what you want in your life is for God to be able to give you grace and mercy. So verse 7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God. It's talking about humbling yourself before the Lord. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. There's too many people trying to resist the devil, but they've got things in their life they need to deal with first. And resisting the devil doesn't work when you've got things in your life which are keeping you back from blessing. Verse 8, draw nigh to God. And that's part of what we read before, humbling yourself before the Lord, praying and seeking the Lord. Okay? Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. So he's talking about turning away from that type of thing, turning away from sin, turning away from being double-minded. You don't have to be double-minded. You can say, I choose to believe and I choose to think on good things. Verse 9, be afflicted and mourn and weep. There has to be repentance. There has to be this repentance. If there's pride, if there's things in the way, there has to be repentance. Because what you want is grace to come. You want healing to come. You want good things to come into your life. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. This is called godly sorrow. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. There's too many in churches today laughing and pretending to be joyous when they should be weeping before the Lord. I'm all for joy in the Lord. I have the joy of the Lord in me. And you've got to have that. But you cannot be people, we cannot be people that are allowing things in our life that are hard, hardening us to the things of God. God wants that broken up. Verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he shall lift you up. Can he lift you up out of poverty? Yes, he can. Can he lift you up out of sickness and disease and infirmity? Yes, he can. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. Let's have a look at an example of a man who almost missed out on his healing in 2 Kings chapter 5. We start from verse 1. This is a wonderful story. And it's got a lot to show us in here. In 2 Kings chapter 5, start from verse 1. This is the story of Naaman. Almost missed out on being healed. And we'll see why. So 2 Kings 5, starting from verse 1, says, now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honourable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valour, but he was a leper. Now, leprosy was a terrible thing, and is a terrible thing. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. So this little girl, this little maid, knew about God's power to heal and the fact that through the prophet in Israel there had been healings that had happened. Now she might not have known much, but she spoke what she knew. And that's what she said. Verse 4, and one went in and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel, and the king of Syria said, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. You notice the little maid didn't say anything about the king of Israel, did she? She just talked about the prophet. But the king of Syria immediately said, I'll go right to the head, king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. Verse 6, and he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. Is that what the little maid had said? Somehow it had blossomed a story. I don't think people do much listening at times. No, she talked about, would God, my Lord, were with the prophet, not with the king. But anyway, God has mercy, and we see what happens here. Verse 7, and it came to pass when the king of Israel had read the letter that he rent his clothes and said, am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherewith consider, I pray you, and see how he maketh a quarrel against me. So he thought the king of Syria was trying to quarrel with him. Verse 8, and it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. Now here is Naaman, okay, a mighty man in Syria. And he comes to the door of the house of Elisha. Notice what Elisha does. Verse 10, and Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. Pretty simple word. And notice that Elisha himself did not go out, even though Naaman was at the door of the house. Now, God knows various problems in people's lives. He knows various problems in people's lives. He knows what needs to be fixed up. And he knew that there had to be something fixed up in Naaman's life in order for him to be able to be healed. So the word of the Lord came to Naaman. Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. Verse 11 is very revealing. But Naaman was wroth. That means very, very angry. Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. Now this is what pride does. It will not receive the word of God, and you will turn away from blessing. And this is what happened. He was turning away from blessing. Verse 13, and his servants came near. So he must have had some wise servants. It's good to have people that are wise around you. And here we see, and his servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, wash and be clean? It must have been a wake-up call for him. Because the next verse tells us that he heeded this. Verse 14, then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. So we see here that he was cleansed of leprosy, he was healed. But he almost missed out because he got angry when the word of the Lord was spoken. Now the word of the Lord can be spoken to you. It can be through the Bible. It can be through another Christian. The word of the Lord can be very careful about being angry and turning away, because you might miss out on what the Lord wants for you. Have a look at Acts 28. Verses 27 and 28. Now Naaman, praise the Lord, he humbled himself, didn't he? And he listened. He listened and he obeyed the word that was from the Lord. And then the Lord could do something with him and he healed him. Praise the Lord. Now, Acts chapter 28. Look at verses 27 and 28. Acts 28. Now here we see that the condition of our heart before the Lord will enable you to either not receive or to receive the things of the Lord. And we've been talking about that, the condition of your heart. So looking at verse 27 and 28 of Acts 28. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, that they will hear it. So it's important to hear, and hearing means with your inner man ears, to hear with the hearing of faith, saying, I hear it and I believe it, and respond in faith. Because notice that their ears are dull of hearing, and that comes through turning away from hearing what the Lord has to say. And their eyes, they've closed. So you can see here that there is that connection. We cannot be people that allow things like unbelief or pride to get in. In fact, we should be examining ourselves regularly to make sure that pride doesn't get in. I mean, we live in a world that is full of pride, full of unbelief. And it's always trying to get in because the devil is backing that. Okay? But we must be sober and vigilant, because the devil, your adversary, goes about as a roaring lion. He's trying to devour people. He's trying to stop people from getting what the Lord wants you to have. But notice that your heart can be converted. That means changed. And I should heal them. And we saw before that it requires you to humble yourself, pray, and seek the Lord. There is, therefore, with that changed heart, healing can come. Healing can come. And God wants us to be in that state where we're healed, healthy, strong before Him. God wants that for His people. Praise the Lord. If you have a look at Psalm 119, verse 38, Psalm 119, verse 38, we must be people that are open to the Lord, open to hear what He has to say. Psalm 119, verse 38. If we close our hearts to the Lord, if we allow hardness to stay in there, then you also would be allowing blockages to stay in there as well. And you don't want that, because God wants to heal. His healing power is available. We don't listen to other words. We listen to the word of the Lord. Psalm 119, verse 38. And I'm talking about, we don't listen to other words that are contradictory to God's word. So 119, that's what verse 38 says. Establish thy word unto thy servant who is devoted to thy fear. Devoted to thy fear. Now if you're devoted to the fear of the Lord, That's how you can keep your heart pure and soft before the Lord, because then the Lord can establish His word in your life. He can establish His word to you because you're devoted to God's fear, to fearing the Lord. And it's important for us to know what's involved in the fear of the Lord, and you'll see it quite clearly that pride is right there in the midst of it. Have a look at Proverbs 8, verse 13. Pride is right there in the midst of not having the fear of the Lord. Okay? If you have the fear of the Lord, you will hate certain things, and that's what it's talking about in Proverbs 8, verse 13. So humility must be part of being devoted to the fear of the Lord. Humility, think about it, will enable God to show His grace and favour to you, to manifest His goodness in your life. Proverbs 8, verse 13 says, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil." And after that word evil are two dots, a colon, that means, which means a list is following. Pride, first off, isn't it? Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth, that means rebellious mouth, do I hate. Now, hate is a strong word. But if you're devoted to the fear of the Lord, you will hate evil. And pride is on the top of that list. Pride is on the top of the list. Now, if you're devoted to the fear of the Lord, you'll be seeking to humble yourself before the Lord. And I've seen this more and more in my life as I've gone more and more in the Lord. I see that results only come through bowing the knee to the Lord and His word. Bowing the knee. And it's when people resist the things of God, when they resist the word of God, that it becomes, if they harden their hearts, it becomes so difficult for them to receive anything from the Lord. If you want to make it easy to receive things from the Lord, you be devoted to the fear of the Lord, because then He can establish His word in your life. He can get that word foundational in your life. And you can be like that person who builds their house upon the rock. You know, the Lord wants to get through to us tonight. I think you've seen there is a connection between humility and healing. God is merciful. God is merciful to people that acknowledge Him. They're merciful. And, you know, the Lord is wanting us to just bow the knee before Him and say, "Lord, I acknowledge that You are true and You are right always. You are right always. I don't want to go my own way. I want to go Your way." Praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads and quieten ourselves before the Lord now. Heavenly Father, we praise You and thank You today. We thank You for Your wonderful blessing in our lives. And Father, I thank You for the people here. Thank You for the people who will hear the word of the Lord through this. And Father, I pray for them now, that there be an awareness now of anything that needs to be dealt with. Anything. And if there's anything in your life that you need to deal with, any hardness, any unbelief, any pride, I'm going to give you a minute now just to say before the Lord, "Lord, forgive me. Say before the Lord, "Lord, Help me, Lord. Forgive me. Examine your heart. Father, show your people just how much you hate pride, how much you hate rebellion. In Jesus' name. God is saying to his people, see things the way I see them. See things the way I see them. Have a soft heart before me. Thank you, Lord.